Over the weekend, the General Assembly of Virginia voted to approve a resolution offering profound regret for the state's role in slavery. It reads, in part, that slavery ranks as the most horrendous of all depredations of human rights and violations of our founding ideals in our nation's history. The measure passed by a unanimous vote and, while symbolic, does not carry the weight of law. This as Virginia celebrates the 400th anniversary of Jamestown, the 1607 settlement, and the point of entry for the first African slaves in this country. This is the first time any state has issued a measure of this kind, though others are considering various forms of apology. And critics complain either that profound regret is not quite the same as an apology, or on the other side, that apologies are not necessary. We're going to hear two points of view on this. We'd also like to hear from you. What does this measure mean in terms of making peace with the past? Does it go far enough? Is it necessary at all? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And we begin with Jimmy Israel. He's an award-winning journalist, opinion writer, and frequent NPR contributor. He joins us today from Barton Voice and Sound Studio in Lexington, Kentucky. Nice to have you on the program, Jimmy.
Nice to be here.
The resolution says this is profound regret, not an outright apology. Semantics, I would think, are important here.
Well, you know, my whole thing is, what's the point of it all? I mean, it's kind of like going to the barber and getting your hair cut, and he jacks it up real bad. It's like, okay, well, you have three options. You could either get over it, get used to it, or they can give you money to go get your hair cut right. So, but just saying, the barber just says, I'm sorry, you're not going to be very happy. So, you know, this apology, it's a pacifier at best.
Pacifier. It's interesting that during the debate, a Virginia state legislature named Frank Hargrove said last month, African Americans should, quote, get over slavery. Is this not a recognition that maybe slavery is something that needs to be acknowledged?
Well, I mean, we can't argue this. Yeah, of course, slavery needs to be acknowledged. But what does that mean exactly? Does that mean do I get a Hallmark card and a nice piece of Danish? I mean, what does that apology look like, number one? And what does that acknowledgement look like? My thing isn't, let's not stay mired in the past. Let's move forward and try to build a better America.
And does that involve acknowledgement? Is this a positive step, do you think, that Virginia has at least acknowledged that the state which owned more slaves than any other, that it's sorry for the role it had in slavery?
I'd be happy if they set aside some grant scholarship money for Black Americans, you know, to get, as opposed to, you know, or at least a nice piece of Danish, you know, as opposed to, you know, I'm sorry, that doesn't do anything for me. Again, with the barber and the bad haircut. I mean, he's sorry, but there you are with that bad haircut.
Let's see if we get some listeners involved in the conversation. Our guest is Jimmy Israel. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's go to Mick, and Mick's calling us from Missouri.
Yes, I didn't get to hear all the last commentator's comments, but I agree with one thing he said. We need to put this behind us. As a person of mixed racial heritage myself, I'm getting tired of hearing so many angry voices. We don't need to apologize. The people that need to be apologized to are all dead. And we need to move on. Like Dr. King said, we need to have an America where race is not an issue anymore. Because of slavery, it was evil. It was a bad thing. But because of slavery, we have got people living in America, which I served in Iraq, and I know people over there would love to live in America. Mm-hmm. Look what's gone on in Africa in the last 20 years. You know,
yeah, there's no going back to Africa. I didn't leave anything there, so I'm not going back.
Exactly. We're Americans now. And Dr. King dreamed of an America where people of all races would live together, and I embrace both my heritages. And I'm just tired of hearing only the angry side, like, we no longer owe anybody anything but a chance to have an equal chance at what America's supposed to be about.
Right, Dad. Go ahead.
I don't understand what comes of an apology. You know, what again, there's no check, there's no nice Danish, there's not even a nice Hallmark card. I mean, what do I get out of it, you know, besides a pat on the head? You know, let's move forward.
We actually owe anybody an apology. The people that we owe an apology to are all dead and been dead for a long time.
Now, I understand on some level the value of an apology. There are people out there that want to feel like white Americans are somewhat sympathetic to, you know, what slavery put on Black Americans. I understand those people. But those people are kind of living.
Blacks have been, not just Blacks have been in history, have been slaves. I like I said, I'm a person of mixed race. Irish were slaves. French
That's
were
true.
Slaves.
Mm-hmm. But they weren't slaves. We can both agree they weren't slaves to the extent that Africans in this country were, right?
Not in this country. That's correct. But in history.
Okay. So we're talking about this country.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's all the state of Virginia can possibly apologize for.
Right.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to acknowledge it was wrong.
Okay.
But, you know, if I believe that Dr. King had the right idea. Let's put this behind us and build a new America where instead of dividing ourselves, let's work together to make it right.
Mick, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mick.
Let's talk now with Carol Swain, a professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University. She joins us today from Vanderbilt University Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. Good to have you on the program today.
It's great to be on the program, and I'm very proud of my home state of Virginia for taking the lead in doing something that I believe the national government should take the initiative in. And when I think about an apology for slavery, I don't see it as white people apologizing to black people. I believe that the apology should be seen as our nation apologizing for something that we all participated in at one level, because there were black slaveholders, there were white, there were Native Americans, and so various groups participated in slavery. I think that the government, it's the same U.S. government that allowed it to continue, and it would be the proper party to initiate an apology.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to see the President of the United States take the initiative for Congress to pass a bipartisan resolution apologizing for slavery on behalf of the nation. And again, it's not white people apologizing to black people. And I believe that would be healing, and it would be a step towards racial reconciliation.
Is that right? I mean, so what's going to come of that? So you get the I'm sorry. You know, you get the we're sorry that we did thus and such or so. So what do we do after that? Where you're using this term, this nebulous term, healing and reconciliation, substantively, what will that mean in real life terms? I mean, when my white neighbors come over and embrace me all of a sudden, will they bring a nice, will that be the Danish finally that I've been waiting for? I mean, what will come from that?
It would open the door to a real dialogue. Because other great nations have apologized for atrocities. In fact, we're one of the few nations that has not acknowledged that something wrong was done to other human beings. And we've apologized to the Japanese. There have been apologies to Native Americans. There should be an apology for slavery. And I believe that it would open the door to a different level of conversation. Yes, we have many problems that need to be worked out. Many of them are not about race. They're about social class.
Let me ask you, part of the debate, sorry to interrupt, Jimmy, but I did want to throw something else in. Part of the debate in the state of Virginia over is what words to use. They ended up with profound regret. Initially, apparently, the proposal had the word atonement in it, and some people thought, well, wait a minute, atonement? You have to do something to atone. People might want reparations for that. Apology was considered a little too strong. They finally settled on profound regret. Then some people said they might have. Anyway, that's what they came up with. Carol Swain, are the words here important?
To me, it sounds like an apology, and I believe that the state of Virginia has set an example that the next president of the U.S., if President Bush is not going to be the person to initiate a national apology for slavery, then the person that's elected next fall should be the person that would initiate that. And I do believe it would open the door for a different dialogue in America, and it would give us a basis to work together for our collective problems. We could begin to make that effort to move beyond race. Everything is not about race. Most of the problems that plague African Americans are really about social class and poverty.
Let's get some callers in on this conversation, and let's turn now to Steve. Steve's on the air. Well, I actually can't see where Steve is on the air because our computer line is blocking it. Where are you from, Steve?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cincinnati. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air.
I wanted to make the simple comment that I agree with Mr. Israel. An apology is a great step towards bringing together people who have been divided over something as minor as a property line to as big as an issue such as slavery. But without a follow-on, the I'm sorry, the here's a hug is mere lip service. If you want to make an apology, throw up a memorial and then dump some money into school grants. dump some money into urban development, dump some money into vocational training. The equality and difference of equality between those affected on the receiving end of slavery and those affected from the more supervisory roles of slavery back in the day isn't going to be bridged by, hey, man, you know, I'm really sorry that my dead great-great-great-grandfather was a jerk and did some really nasty, heinous things. That it doesn't do it. It's not good enough. I'm sorry, and a statue in a park is great, but if we're going to bridge the gap, then we need to draw the world's attention, not just to the slavery issue that went on in the U.S., but the slavery issue globally, because it clearly didn't start here. It was brought here from cultures developed long before this land was even discovered by Eastern powers. And then, okay, once you acknowledge that an apology is necessary, what are you going to do? You need
it
to
seems
do something
to me.
Because
wait, but more.
It seems to me that
more so than the apology itself being empty is the idea that whenever you force or cajole anyone to make an apology, you foster resentment. So this idea that we're building reconciliation and we're building bridges and opening doors, I reject that wholesale, because what you're going to do is foster resentment, because from people that don't feel as if they have to apologize because they didn't do anything.
Carol Swain.
It seems to me that the appropriate party to initiate the apology, again, would be the President of the United States. And when it comes to payment,
you can't even
it
spell
seems
apology.
To me that
Are you
if you
serious?
go back to the period after blacks were emancipated, there have always been whites that have poured money into black communities and set up black colleges, and there have been lots of programs that have been geared towards African Americans, and for the most part, they've benefited the black middle class. And so more programs, more grants, that's not going to solve the problems that are affecting African Americans. I think only African Americans can solve their own problems, and that we do need to get over slavery. I think that if I were the President of the U.S., I would issue the apology, and I would work with people that want to move beyond race and move towards collective solutions for the problems that still plague us. And the black middle class has been paid very, very well.
We're talking with Carol Swain and with Jimmy Israel. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I wanted to thank Steve for his call. Appreciate your time, Steve. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Larry. Larry's calling us also from Cincinnati.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I think that the analogy that Mr. Israel had about with the barber
and the bad haircut,
I think it's a poor analogy, because the poor haircut does not benefit the barber. The base of this country's wealth was founded on slavery. So if for no other reason, they owe an apology just for benefiting from this horrible, inhumane institution.
Well, they're not going to apologize for that because they're not sorry. So don't hold your breath for it.
Now, it's a poor one. We realize that, you know, they're not going to apologize. Or if they do apologize, it won't be felt by every American.
And so, my Aesop, no analogy is perfect. Sorry.
Well, I wanted to ask Larry, so what would be treated as sincere? What would be treated as adequate in your mind?
At this point, short of reparations, I don't think anything would be adequate, since we're talking about the foundation of this country's wealth. They've benefited from slavery. So give back a token of what you've benefited from. That's
how much
reparations come into play. Everybody wants to denounce reparations, but the fact remains, this is the wealthiest country in the world, and they got that wealth on the back of slaves.
The Japanese who were interned, when the United States apologized to them, they were granted, I think it was $20,000 per individual. Obviously,
exactly.
Many of them were dead by that time. So
exactly.
There was a smaller universe of people
But again, that was a token of what was benefited.
I mean, 20 grand won't get you a good semester at a state college, man. I mean,
regardless of what 20 grand will do, it will go a long way towards an apology being heartfelt.
Carol Swain, what do you think?
If you want everything to be perfect, then, okay, this is not a perfect world.
Let's hear from Carol Swain.
Again, I go back to what I said before. It seems to me that ever since slavery, there have been white people trying to make compensation for slavery, and many African Americans have benefited tremendously from that. And I believe that the issues, the problems that remain, mostly affect the black lower class. Those are problems that are best addressed by social programs geared towards that group. I don't believe that a monetary compensation for blacks, just for black Americans, period, would change any of the conditions that that black people are in. I think we do need to take more responsibility for our own situations. That apology to me would just open the door for a whole different dialogue. And again, monies have been paid. People have benefited from it. And it's been mostly the black middle class.
It would open a door.
And they're still asking for more. And if more money were paid, it would enter into the pockets of the blacks that were better off. You would still have the same conditions. And whites would be able to say, well, we paid you all reparations and look at you.
Well, to
so, but the same thing with an apology, though. So they'll say, we said we're sorry. What else do you want?
I don't know. I want the apology. I don't care about the money. I want the apology, and I would like to see the president have a ceremony in the Rose Garden and people from all different nationalities come and hold hands and sing,
and
we are the world, and we move forward from that point. We need to have the apology for closure. Other great nations have apologized. Why not us?
And I'm afraid we're going to leave it there. Larry, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. And I'd like to thank our guests. That last voice you heard belongs to Carol Swain, professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University. She joined us from Vanderbilt University studios today. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
And also we heard from Jimmy Israel, an award-winning journalist, opinion writer, and a frequent contributor here on NPR. He works for the editorial board of the Lexington Herald Leader and blogs at jimmyisrael.com. Nice to talk to you.
Yep.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.